A service for the third Sunday in Advent, December the 14th, 2025. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A scripture reading from Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, and yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon entitled, "Let Justice Reign." The real world can be a harsh place. And by real world, I'm referring to this fallen creation. For the reality is that things are not now as they were meant to be. Everything became messed up in the fall into sin. Here is an example of what I am talking about. The world we live in is one in which the governing authorities have the responsibility to incarcerate certain individuals. These need to be punished for their crimes. They need to be made an example of to deter others from doing what they did. There's nothing nice about seeing the prison that is north of Oliver when you consider why it must be there. It's just reality. However, an even harsher reality is when people who are innocent are the subjects of a miscarriage of justice. Their trials were hasty and the evidence was mishandled or overlooked. The result is that some who maintain their innocence are found guilty and then put away. However, later, when their trial is re-examined in light of new evidence, it is revealed that they were innocent and so at last are set free. That this happens all too frequently makes for a strong argument against capital punishment, even though the scriptures do permit it. Well, in today's gospel reading, we learn of a miscarriage of justice. The subject of it is John the Baptist. In Mark 6, and we learn how Herod seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. This was unlawful, since the brother was still alive. John had spoken out, saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." We are told how Herodias had a grudge against John for this and wanted him put to death. Instead, Herod, knowing that John was a righteous and holy man, kept him safe from death, but incarcerated. John had spoken truth to power, and for that his freedoms were stripped from him. This was a miscarriage of justice, and Herod himself knew it. Though this is not our situations, it is quite likely that you and I consider ourselves as among those who have been or presently are being treated unjustly. You may be forced into a situation in which you really don't deserve to be. You may have had to pay more than you should have for some things. You maybe are being mistreated by someone else, and it just isn't fair. When we consider these things, it isn't uncommon to wonder, where is the Lord? Shouldn't he be intervening on our behalf in these situations, ensuring an outcome that is fairer than that which we are receiving? What acts as salt in our wounds is when the ones mistreating us seem to be thriving, and this while we who have done most things right are suffering. What's fair about any of that? That God allows these miscarriages of justice to occur might cause us to doubt if God even exists. Or we may wonder that if he does exist, why would he allow bad things to happen to us? The conclusion we might then make is that God doesn't care and that it is pointless to trust in him. Doubt attacks our faith in ways like these. This happens to the best of mankind, for in today's text we see this thing happening with John the Baptist. And the reason I say that he was the best of mankind is because Jesus declared about him, "Truly, I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." And yet, in spite of such praise, as John was unjustly incarcerated in Herod's prison, and in spite of having seen the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove at his baptism, and after having already identified him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John seems to be suffering from doubt. John was desperate in need of reassurance. Fortunately, John was allowed visitors, and so his own disciples came to see him. He had a task for them. They were to find Jesus and ask him on his behalf this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" The answer could cast aside his doubts on the one hand, or on the other, it might show that he deserved the ill fortune that had befallen him. John's followers deliver his question, and this is the answer Jesus has for them to take back to him in prison. Jesus replied, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." These were the very things Jesus had been doing, and these men could see it for themselves. John would be encouraged to hear about all that was happening. And what is more, it would have shown John that Jesus is the Messiah. For with this answer from Jesus, John would recall the words from the Old Testament lesson, when Isaiah prophesied how the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Jesus was not just figuratively, but literally doing these things, since he is the one to whom John had rightly pointed. This report back to John must have made a world of difference for him. It must have eased his mind. It must have assuaged his doubts. It must have given him strength to bear up under the unjust treatment he was receiving. It would fortify him to soon receive the sword to his neck at the request of Herodias's provocatively dancing daughter. Friends, you and I have gathered here today on this third Sunday in Advent because we also could use a little good news to encourage us. After all, we live in a world where injustices reign. We too often find ourselves as the recipient of them. This can cause us to doubt God's very existence. If not that, it can cause us to wonder if God cares about us. We too require a good word to ease our own minds and assuage our own doubts that can lead to a collapse of faith. Friends, here is good news that I have for you today from Jesus and his word. It has the power to restore sight to the blind, make the lame walk, the deaf hear, raising dead spirits and restoring joy. It is the message of Jesus himself. For with himself in his body, Jesus, the second, the Holy Son of God, suffered and died on Calvary's cruel cross. Jesus was the recipient of the greatest miscarriage of justice ever, more so than even John. A disciple betrayed him. He was arrested and falsely sentenced. He was unjustly handed over to the Romans, who greatly abused him. And although Pilate, his judge, knew Jesus to be innocent, certainly having done nothing worthy of death, he nonetheless handed him over for crucifixion. The one who had done so much for others, providing them living waters, was given gall and vinegar to drink. Everything about what he endured that Friday was bitter. But here's the good news, also in the words of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus had taken on to himself the sins of the world, paying for them in full. These include your sins and mine, committed in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and left undone. And now, when we believe and are baptized, we are saved. By trusting in Jesus, there is forgiveness of our sins. There is a great burden of debt that we are out from under. It's truly freeing and liberating, like guilty ones released from prison. But how can we know that this is true? Simply consider another part of the answer that Jesus sent back to John via his disciples. Jesus told them to tell John that the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. You see, the most important resurrection is that of Jesus himself. His rising from the dead reveals that he is the one, the world's only Savior, who died but rose again to bring life and light to all who trust in this good news preached to them. Yes, hear again about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and receive hope, peace, joy, and love. Have your mind set at ease and your doubts assuaged. We've hitched our wagons to the right star. We are on our way one day out of a world where the reality is that certain people are incarcerated, and some of these unjustly. We are on our way to a new world where justice reigns. Allow me now to conclude with these words from the prophet Amos. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like a never ending stream. That's the new reality for which we hope and one day will enjoy with John and with our Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.